You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Tuesday, February 2nd, and it's not just any Tuesday, it's a Tony Tuesday. And we've got him on the show, Tony Cirino, to talk about a few very important things. The Steelers have a new offensive line coach, according to a report from Ian Rappaport, and we'll talk about who that coach is and what it means for the offensive line moving forward. Then, we've got our reviews on the Senior Bowl. That's why I waited to talk about it, because I know my man Tony was watching it too. We got a lot of reviews on how practices went and really how this is the last chance to truly evaluate new tape on future players in this upcoming draft because there is no combine. Then, finally, we got a question that I thought was a really good question in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group that we'll answer live on air. What's the question? Find out when we get there. Let's get into it. So we always look to start with news segments here. And right before I'm about to hit the record button, some certain news comes out over the airwaves. So we got to talk about this. And it's that the Steelers have a new offensive line coach, but he's not really that new. And it's causing up an uproar. So I got to get my guy, Tony Cirino, for a Tony Tuesday, because I need his help deciphering this. Tony, the Steelers have promoted offensive line coach or offensive assistant line coach from last year, Adrian Klemm, to be the team's offensive line coach. This of course being a report from Ian Rappaport, but people are mad. I honestly have zero insight on how this offensive line is going to be.
Yeah, someone asked me, I retweeted Ian Rappaport right when it happened. Someone said, what's this going to mean for the scheme offensively? like you, I'm like, I don't know. I barely heard of Adrian Klemm before. I mean, I knew he was the assistant, but I don't know much about him or, you know, his time at UCLA. I had to scan his Wikipedia page to just like get a general gist of what he did. You know, he was like the run game coordinator there. He was the offensive line coach there. He was also, I guess, dismissed as part of the whole lawsuits that happened there with mishandling of injuries and whatnot. He was named in, I think, one of the lawsuits. So, yeah, that's not great. But I think, you know, what seems weird, and I think where a lot of the negativity comes from here, because clearly I don't think, you know, a lot of the people who are negative about this, you know, they've watched a bunch of UCLA tape and like, well, let me tell you about the scheme that he ran at UCLA and why it's not going to fit in Pittsburgh. I think they're mad about the idea that the Steelers did not go outside the organization. And this, we heard this too, Chris, right? When the Steelers got Matt Canada, when they promoted Canada, there was a lot of people who said, this is not what this offense needed. Look how bad it was at the end of last year. You need a wholesale change on offense. And I think, you know, on the offensive line, certainly as the year wore on, it just got worse and worse. So I think there were a lot of people who felt like this team needed to go outside. I'm surprised that they did promote from within, but I'm going to give Klemm time to prove it on the field before I just say, this is a bad hire.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you there. I have a hard time just bail on a dude and just being like, ah, you stink, get out of here. He first became an assistant in 2019. So I do believe that's the year after Mike Munchak left. Cause yep. I think he wasn't a Munchak disciple. It's also interesting. I find he was a second round pick for the Patriots. And he won 3 Super Bowls with them in the early years. Ugh.
Yeah.
So points against him for that, but maybe points for him for that, because maybe he could teach them what he's doing there. But anyways, all things considered, to me, the question that everyone's having is, was this just a boring inside hire because, quote unquote, no one would take the job, which is being proposed out there because there was a coach who declined an interview and, you know, there's other stuff going on. They did interview other people for the job. But here's my thing. What do you mean to tell me that they couldn't find somebody to do the job? What person would turn down an actual position coach job for the in the NFL? If you had an opportunity to rise up and get a shot,
you would absolutely take that job, especially when you know the team is probably going to be investing in that position very soon with high picks that you can get your hands on and say, see, these are my first round draft picks that are now playing very well. And here's Kevin Dotson, and I have David DeCastro and whoever. Like, I have a hard time buying into that theory, Tony, but I understand some fans' frustration. You wanted to see a familiar name, a guy that everyone knew, and everyone was exciting about, like Mike Munchak, but sometimes you don't need that.
All right, let me go tinfoil hat. Well, maybe I'll just go, I'm actually not tinfoil hat. I'll just go devil's advocate to that point, right? Which is the idea, you know, who would turn down the job for the Steelers. I mean, we know someone, I mean, the Texans guy, and it is weird. It's weird that they were interviewing
Texans. I'm not saying that nobody would turn down the job, but I'm saying that there is a wide enough field of coaches that would coach an offensive line that you could find somebody outside of the organization.
Unless here's where, again, here's where I'll push back. Unless they felt like Sarek got a bad rap, right? Like he got let go a little too early. You know, the idea that, hey, Sarek comes in and takes over for Mike Munchak, and Munchak is a great offensive line coach. And we all knew that there was going to be a drop off, right? You had to know. Even Tomlin had to know, look, I'm going from Munchak to Sarek. There's going to be a drop off here. Mm-hmm. But he also inherited an aging Maurkice Pouncey, an aging Alejandro Villanueva, and an aging David DeCastro without guys on the roster who are immediately going to take over for those positions. And it's not like this team, went out got like their center of the future to fill in, or their left tackle of the future is not on the roster right now. And Sarek's let go, even after what was a home run selection and the only offensive lineman they took last year in Kevin Dotson, right? I mean, Dotson was an absolute home run at guard. So, you could argue that maybe, guys feel like, hey, look, what's going to happen here? We hear that Ben's coming back and he wants Pouncey back. So I have to coach Pouncey for another year. And look, I don't want to badmouth Pouncey. I think Pouncey still can be, a good center, but clearly his best days are far behind him at this point. Villanueva's out the door, and that may actually be a good thing. But again, we all assume the Steelers are going to go tackle in the first round. Maybe they just sign Banner again and you go Banner as your left tackle and Okorafor. Did I get that right? Okorafor
Yes. Is
your right tackle. And you have an aging DeCastro. Again, it may not be like the best situation right now, given those circumstances and given the fact that, he's looking at the situation that Sarek took over for. And like, yes, Sarek didn't do a great job. But he also didn't inherit an unbelievably great position, considering how much the offensive line was aging in the last couple of years.
Yeah. And I think that's the bottom line, is that I think sometimes there's too much emphasis put on a position coach and not enough emphasis put on the talent that they had, and I know a lot of people are going to point and say, well, Mike Munchak made Chris Hubbard and Kelvin Beachum superstars, and they signed big contracts to other teams. Like, okay, now tell me what those guys did when they left the team. Were they still that good? No. And Kelvin Beachum held his own for a little bit. Chris Hubbard, well, maybe not as much. But
kind of rotated through that Browns offensive line. Whoop.
Yeah, and it was out of there. But my thinking here is that, what often helped the Steelers through those times is those guys could plug and play at different spots because the Steelers had anchor players in the offensive line. And that is one thing that really helps every offensive line. If you have two great players and a really good player, three great players, the way the Steelers had Pouncey, DeCastro, and Gilbert for several years together. When you have three guys like that, you can put mediocre to good guys next to them. And I'm not saying that Villanueva and Ramon Foster were mediocre to good or mediocre and average or whatever. But I'm saying they clearly weren't of the caliber that takes a first and a second round pick to get, like those three. And you don't always need to invest everything to get those players to line up with those guys. So if when you look at Mike Munchak and the success of those guys, their successes were built off of playing on a complete offensive line where the team could acknowledge, hey, you know what? When Kelvin Beachum needs help, we're going to get it to him. Chris Hubbard needs help, we're going to get it to him. And it's in these limited roles. And that's where I see and I'm not saying Mike Munchak isn't a great line coach. I'm saying that maybe some of the things that we thought were just magic that he just did on his own that no one else could ever do was more so about he had great talent that he helped grow. Mm-hmm. And that group, I think what he did was he made sure that group was on time, accurate, and making sure they're firing off on the wrong foot and getting their rhythm going. And Here's my thing, Adrian Clem, I mean, this is still an opportunity for a guy to show that, hey, maybe he can, you know, help get that. But I think the biggest thing is going to be the Steelers still need to invest into new offensive linemen who are going to, you know, get things going for this next group.
Right, because there can be a patchwork offensive line next season, right? And I think, you know, Pouncey may come back, and so maybe they ride that out for one more year. You can get Banner back, and Banner can play left tackle, and you can ride that out for a year. But you're absolutely right. I mean, this is an offensive line that outside of Kelvin Beachum and maybe Okorafor on the right side, you know, they don't have a future at every other position needs to be, you know, either filled immediately if my situation doesn't work out, or, you know, in David DeCastro, there needs to be a long-term replacement brought in. So certainly Clem's going to have, you know, his work cut out for him there, not only, you know, bringing those players in, but then coaching them up and getting it all coordinated, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, Tony and I are going to talk about the Senior Bowl. There's a lot of notes that happened to look at it after this past weekend when it was played. And there's going to be a lot of talk because there's no combine this year. So that's going to be an evaluating point. So get our notes on that after this first break. Before we do that, we got to talk to you about our friends at betonline.ag. With Super Bowl week upon us, y'all know the only place that we trust to place bets on Super Bowl bets is betonline.ag. Sign up today for your free account on betonline.ag, and you can get a 50% deposit bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll get a 50% bonus to your first deposit. When you go to betonline.ag, you don't just bet on who wins the Super Bowl. You bet on who scores first, who scores last, who wins the coin toss, what's the over-under, how many touchdowns will Mahomes throw, will Brady throw. All those type of things you can bet on and make money on betonline.ag. And don't forget, get off the sidelines, get into the action, and use that promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, locked on, for you're to enter your promo code to get your 50% bonus to your first deposit when you sign up today for your free account. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with my friend Tony Serino. Now, Tony, you and I, we're big guys that we like to get into the NFL draft and look at the players and talk about that because that's the fun part of every year. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a fun part of every year. It's the Super Bowl
of the offseason.
Exactly. Right. So there was a big event this past weekend, the Senior Bowl. Now, typically the Senior Bowl is the rejects day, not the rejects day. That's wrong to say. But that's the guys who are still trying to prove that they are going to be great in the NFL. That, you know, used to be like, hey, you know, the number one draft pick didn't have to play there, but you saw, you know, players like Devontae Smith showing up there this year because there's no NFL combine. Mm-hmm. And you saw a lot of guys play there, and you still saw a lot of guys not play there. Like Trevor Lawrence wasn't showing up. Justin Fields wasn't showing up. They knew they didn't have to, but, right. But you did see a lot of talent there, and everyone was looking around. Of course, everyone was looking at the offensive line for the Steelers. There was talk about, you know, some of the receivers that played and some of the DBs that played. Who were some of the guys that stood out to you in the Senior Bowl?
Well, my boy, Dwayne Eskridge, who I talked about last week on the show, he's blown up now. I mean, he's like hit the stratosphere. He's too far out. There's rumors floating around at the Senior Bowl. Matt Miller of the Draft Scout said he talked to certain scouts there and said Eskridge is being considered now as a borderline first round pick. So, jeez. You know, my dream of taking Eskridge in like the third or fourth round for the Steelers and him being what I think would be a perfect player in Matt Canada's offense too, that may be gone now. I was obviously looking at the quarterback position because, you know, while we don't have, I guess we have some clarity now on Ben, it seems like he's coming back. But you know, there were some guys there, Mac Jones specifically, that if the Steelers are going to take a quarterback at 24, he seems like the most likely candidate. I don't think the other guys are falling down. Yeah, I'm with you on Mac Jones. I'm with you. I guess the nice thing to say, if we're going to say something nice about Mac Jones, he did, by all reports, look like the best player at practice. And so, you know, he's got that going for him. I still think 24 would be crazy to take him. I think there's going to be plenty of other good players there. At running back, you know, what's interesting, there's a couple guys, the kid from UCLA, Fenton, yes. And also Michael Carter seem like the perfect again for the Matt Canada system. Although with Anthony McFarland already in the rotation, I don't know that that's the kind of guy that Canada is going to want to bring in. I think he's going to want someone who's maybe a more three down type back. And certainly Carter struggled in pass protection throughout the week. And then on the offensive line, one thing that was interesting to me, and I think Steeler fans should look out for, is there keeps being talk about Leatherwood not being a tackle. He can only play guard at the next level.
Yep.
And so maybe he comes off that spot, but then Eichenberg had a good week. And so Eichenberg the kid from Notre Dame could be a player to watch for at tackle if that's where the Steelers want to go at 24.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's going to be guys who you know, are going to show up in this tape and they didn't look their best. I thought some of the offensive linemen took a pounding at times. You know, one guy that a lot of people were hyping on social media was Alabama's guard, Deontay Brown. He did not have the best day. That was their oversized guard. That's like 360 pounds or something like that.
He impressed at weigh-ins. I mean, his size and wingspan and everything, just gigantic. But
right. His build is amazing. But yeah, you kind of see that he was not the driving force.
He needs that Mike Munchak, the magic fairy dust.
that magic fairy dust of Mike Munchak. But you saw stuff like that. But you did see Eichenberg playing well. I think Samuel Cosmi, you know, will look good. Would look good at the position. I also think that one thing you saw with Michael Carter, him and Javonte Williams were two of the better backs in this class. But Williams is the bigger version. Michael Carter is the smaller, faster version. I felt like Michael Carter showed like, hey, you got this burst to you, but again, you're small. You're kind of a one type of back, and the Steelers need a guy who can be every down. They need and that's what, Etienne, Najee Harris, maybe Javonte Williams, maybe Chuba Hubbard. Those guys project as, go ahead.
I was going to say there were reports at the Senior Bowl that the Steelers were talking to Najee Harris. Not a shocker. I think a lot of teams probably talked to Najee Harris, but I know the Steelers fans are going to be interested in that because I know a lot of Steelers fans would love for the Steelers to be taking Najee Harris at 24.
Yeah, a lot of people would be excited about that. I think the other thing about this that people should keep an eye on is that the Steelers, I did see a report they talked to Patrick Jones. For those who don't know, Patrick Jones was Pitt's top edge rusher on the year. I think he had 9 sacks on the season. He led the team. He's a pretty consistent dude. I covered Patrick Jones with Pitt. You'd like him. He's just a quiet workaholic type of dude that just gets the job done.
He would play edge for the Steelers too, I'm assuming, right?
Right. He would be a pure edge defender, which would mean that they'd really have a rotation with him, Highsmith and TJ Watt, of course. So I thought that was interesting.
I would be shocked if the Steelers prioritized edge that highly, because you go back to the days of Bud and TJ, and they didn't really prioritize the third guy. It was Chickalo, it was Arthur Motes.
Now see, here's the thing. I don't understand it, because I think Patrick Jones is a stud, but there's a lot of talk that he might not even go until the second round.
But even still, I don't know that the Steelers, I mean, if they took a guy even in round 3, again, that's where they took Highsmith. I'd be shocked if they went that high again on edge. It feels like they're pretty much, I mean, not they're 100% set with Highsmith, but Highsmith certainly looked good at the end of the year.
Right.
I don't know. I would be surprised if they went that high again on edge, even knowing that they do have a depth problem. And I would love it if they did, because I've always been a big guy on get a situational guy. A guy who could just come in on third downs to rotate. I would love it, but I would certainly be surprised.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that they will, but he's a guy they could look at. And another interesting member, and it's funny, just Patrick Jones's teammate, Rashad Weaver. He became a consensus All American this year because he went ballistic next to Patrick Jones. He didn't get as many sacks because he played, I think, 2 less games. But he was lining up inside and outside in the Senior Bowl, and he was dominating people, including Alabama's Deontay Brown. And Rashad Weaver's a guy who he didn't play, 2 seasons ago because he had a knee injury. So he kind of stayed off a lot of people's radars. There's a chance that he could be a one that sneaks into the third and fourth and rounds. I don't think he'll go as far as the fifth, but again, people are going to look at a lot of tape this year. He really should be going in the second, but there's a lot of people that are, again, downplaying him, and they're looking, a lot of people are staring at Jalen Phillips from Miami, Joseph Asai from Texas, and those type of guys. I'd be interested there. I think there are also people shouldn't overlook the linebacker position. Chaz Surratt from North Carolina is a name that comes to mind. But there's a lot of different things that could be poked out here. But one guy that I think that shouldn't one thing you brought up, quarterbacks. I liked Kellen Mond in the Senior Bowl. I thought that he was very decisive with the football. His accuracy was wild. That's why I've said, when people ask me before, I don't think he's NFL ready right now, but he has the athleticism to get out of the pocket and, you know, and get yards when they're there. And he does have a cannon on him. He just needs to hone in that accuracy and the consistency of his throwing motion, and he can make himself a better candidate. But he would be a guy that if you drafted him probably in the fifth round, you could bring him into camp and say, all right, Mason and Dwayne, go, you know, beat this guy out.
Yeah. And another guy like that is Jamie Newman.
Yes.
From Wake Forest or Georgia, you know, wherever he's playing now. I thought he was another guy like that who, you know, could be an interesting prospect. I don't know that he'll last that long. I think maybe he goes in as a late day two type guy. Maybe he's there in the fourth round. I'm happy, by the way. I also want to say I'm very happy that Sam Ehlinger did not light up the Senior Bowl, because I was getting really – I'm so tired of the Texas is back crap that we hear about every – I know it's become a meme at this point. Even the meme is tiresome to me. And so the idea that, like, oh, Ehlinger's got this new throwing motion, he's going to light up the Senior Bowl. No, he isn't. Okay. No, he isn't. Texas is not back, and Sam Ehlinger is not lighting up the Senior Bowl. And he didn't. And thank goodness that he can go back to being a sixth or seventh round pick like he should be.
This sounds very personal to you, Tony.
Well, the Texas is back stuff, it's just so silly to me. Ever since, look, they fired what's his name, Mack Brown. And ever since then, you know, Texas is never coming back. And Sam Ehlinger is not bringing them back, and he's not bringing any team back either in the NFL. So.
Why are you rooting for Texas to fail? Where did this come from?
Because I hate Texas's backs. I mean, it literally started with Texas's back, right? It's like I like Alabama. I like Nick Saban because he made Tim Tebow cry, right? I like that's a whole other situation. That's like what me and my wife fight about all the time, but she's a huge Gators fan. But yeah, I hate Texas because they keep saying that they're back. It's, no, you're not back. Stop. You're not,
calm down.
Couple more. And now that we're through the Senior Bowl, and my guys who I already said were sleepers are not sleepers anymore. They're like first round picks in escrow. I have a couple more actual sleepers. Okay, you can't stop me, NFL scouts. Here's a sleeper for you. Running back Kylan Hill from Mississippi State.
I thought you were going to say Devontae Smith, and I was going to be like, someone. Yeah.
I like this kid Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. Very unheard of.
Very.
I think he could be a good quarterback. Good replacement for Ben.
But who is your running back again?
No, Kylan Hill from Mississippi State.
Okay. Yeah.
The rap on him is going to be that he doesn't have like the long burst, right? He's never going to break off. He doesn't really break off big plays, but you know, and he is not going to have the athletic traits certainly of the top backs in this draft, but I think he's got like good change of direction, contact balance, the things that you want out of an every down type back. He's a bigger guy. I think he's like 5'11", 210. So he's, you know, he's got the body type of a three down guy. And again, that's what I think the Steelers are going to be looking for, that out of a running back. If they're taking one in this draft, is a guy who can play all three downs. And then I'll go back to the wide receiver. Well, even though they burned me on Eskridge, Shai Smith from South Carolina. First of all, South Carolina just continues to churn them out. It's like a factory of slot receivers. You got Debo Samuel, then Brian Edwards, and now Shai Smith. I like Shai Smith a lot. Very tough. And again, if the Steelers are going to need a Juju replacement, if they can't do all of Ben's dirty work this offseason, right? Bringing Pouncey back, bringing Juju back, we're getting the band back together for one more run. I think Shai Smith could be a player in those mid rounds that you could take to get a replacement there in the slot.
Interesting takes there. I certainly think the Steelers will look for a guy that they can play, that they can pick a wide receiver. I mean, you never count the Steelers out from drafting a wide receiver. They've learned to value their positions, that they don't got to pay a whole lot of money to get one. And I think that's why they're in the situation where they don't have to sign Juju Smith-Schuster right now. I mean, it's not even a thing. That's what it is. They drafted three receivers in the early rounds right after him. You know, I like Cornell Powell of Clemson.
Yeah,
I've seen him make some really good catches, you know, over the last year. You know, I know people are going to be on Amari Rodgers because he's fast and stuff, but
he was good too. He was good in practice.
He was. But yeah, the Steelers pick this year is going to be if they pick a wide receiver, is going to be a deep option way down in the draft that they're going to take a stab at. But hey, they've hit there plenty of times, so who knows where that might go.
That should be interesting. It's certainly, you know, it's always a deep wide receiver class. So if they need one later on, they can certainly get one.
Absolutely. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we got more to talk about with your Steelers. We got a question from a listener. Wanted to address that question on the air for a whole segment because we thought it was a good question. What's that question? Find out after this. But first, we have to talk to you about our friends at Rock Auto.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On, that's L-O-C-K-E-D, Locked On, in their How Did You Hear About Us section so that they can know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today.
You're unique, and so are your taxes. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who listen to you, learn about your unique tax situations, and answer your questions. And on top of all of that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. Maybe you started investing and want some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. Maybe you're now self-employed and need some expert advice on what qualifies as a home office deduction. Maybe you'd rather have an expert file your taxes for you so you can focus on what matters most. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live experts can answer your questions, give tax advice, and review your tax return before you file, or even do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert, or let an expert file for you.
All right, Tony, we got a question here. Now, normally I do a mailbag segment or a mailbag day where I take a bunch of your questions.
Mailbags.
We could do it, but this is an unofficial mailbag. And hey, maybe for the future, if you want a question answered on the show, we'll do maybe if it's a good question, if it's a question that I can get a whole segment out of, we'll do a whole segment on it with whatever guests we're bringing on. So we have a question from TJ Deckel, who asks, since the Steelers have a lot of holes to fill, what if they trade their first round pick for 2 second round picks or more? A lot of different draft reports are saying offensive tackles, running backs, cornerbacks, and some other positions are deep in this year's draft. I believe if they can still land OL and off and running back in the second round, thoughts. Now, again, you can ask this on the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which is 1,100 strong. If you want to join that group, just search Locked On Steelers on Facebook, ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as possible. But TJ's question is a good one because, Tony, everyone's wondering what the Steelers have to do at 24. I've heard a lot of talk that even the top running backs that everyone's talking about, the Steelers, could easily last into the second round because people just aren't valuing the position as much these days.
Yeah.
And exactly. We're looking at you, Tony. But on top of that there might be some offensive linemen that have really good grades that'll fall back and still be available in the early to mid second round.
The worry that you would have, I love the question because we've heard we get a lot of this and it happened a lot a couple weeks back when CBS put out that mock draft where it was like the Steelers move up to 10 in the draft and they get Trey Lance. Again, the Steelers will move up in the draft when they have a dire, dire need like they did at linebacker a couple years back. There was an amazing prospect like Devin Bush they wanted to go up and get. And Troy Polamalu was the last one before that. But they rarely go up, especially very high up in the draft. And again, for them to get from 24 to 10 would be huge. Could they move back? Yes, I think they absolutely could move back in this draft. And for the reasons you talked about, this is a deeper draft in the positions where they really need players. They certainly are going to need a tackle. In this draft, this is a deep tackle class. It's a deep running back class. And again, I'm never going to be a take a running back in the first round guy. As much as I love Najee Harris, still at 24, I'm okay. So I would love for the Steelers to move back. Yeah. And another thing to watch out for, when we talk about moving back, you said two first round picks there. Look, I'm not sure that two second round picks in this draft is as worth it to Kevin Colbert as maybe taking a pick in next year's draft, right? Trade out a first round this year to take a first rounder from them next year, because Colbert is on record. You go back and read an article he did with Kevin Clark in The Ringer, where he said, look, we're going to devalue guys who didn't play this year, right? And they it's a weird year, no combine this year. I think that's going to worry Kevin Colbert as well. So you could certainly see them, I think, look to trade out of this draft and into next year's draft.
I that could very well be a possibility. But I have to wonder, how much is the emphasis to win right now? How much is the emphasis to start seeing some of the improvements next year? And not even win now, but invest now so that next year you're saying, okay, these are our needs and these are definitely our needs. Because if you go into, if you trade away your first and all you get is a second and another second next year, then you have basically have just downgraded yourself in this year's draft, and you're hoping that the investment pays off in next year's draft. Whereas this year, you need to start seeing a difference in the offensive line. You need to see a difference in the ground game.
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm the Steelers, I'd be like, hey, you're giving us a second and a third or a second and a fourth for this move down. And the further down this goes, like if you're giving me, you know, something outside of the top five in the second round, I'd be like, no. You need to give me a serious other piece here to move up into this first round, because that's still where a team could draft a quarterback that they really like, that they think won't fall much further, or get the wide receiver they think is has fallen right down the boards, or get that
fifth year option is a big deal in quarterbacks.
Exactly. So I can really see that this working out for the Steelers. So great question by TJ. But and again, the Steelers have more depth that they need to address in the coming years. And the other thing about not needing it next year, Tony, is if this free agency period goes as we expect and they lose Bud and Juju and all and Connor and all these other players, they're going to get a load of comp picks next year.
The most comp picks. I mean, my goodness, we have more comp picks than actual picks. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, right? The idea of drafting in this draft to like fill the needs for now, because you're making one last run. And I agree.
Right.
I mean, if Ben comes back, this is it, right? This is the swan song. One last run. Hey, we're going to run this thing back one final time, as much as certain Steeler fans don't feel like that's worth it because of how last year ended. And how could it be better than that when you're going to lose as many players? And I agree with that takes to a certain extent. It would, though, be like if them drafting for needs for today would kind of be like un-Steelers. I mean, you look at 2017.
True. Very true.
13-3 team loses to the Jaguars. You're like, all right, here's why we lost, right? We got to fill some holes defensively, right? There are certainly some things that have to be cleaned up. And then they go and take an offensive tackle and a quarterback in the third round. And you're like, wait, what? Well, no. We're not. First of all, Mason Rudolph's never playing, and the Okorafor is not playing either anytime soon. So what are we doing? You know, and I think. Look, I would love it if they made up for the wrong that was 2017, because I do think that's a way to approach this: is get guys who you think can play immediately, the guys who can play right now, because those are the guys that can fill in right away and help this team get back to where they were last year as a 12-4 team that had a chance in the playoffs. But I think if they're going to be drafting for future players, right? Like, you know, I know we talk about linebacker. Is the linebacker really getting on the field year one?
Potentially. I mean, Devin Bush, if you get a guy, I think in one of the top rounds who's athletic enough, I think they're getting on the field.
Over Vince Williams?
I mean, if he's athletic enough, they might try it. I mean,
yeah. Well, they did bench him for Barron. I mean, that did happen.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, they like Vince because he's that sub package guy that can go and get the fullback and rush the passer up the middle. But they need a guy who can cover, feel comfortable covering in zone, who can jump on the flat. And when you look at linebacker, you know, you're looking at trying to find yourself an athletic guy. Now, the top guys, Michael Parsons, Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa. That's how you say his name. I actually got that right because he was a beast.
Nailed it.
Thank you. But those two guys are going to be long gone. Zaven Collins probably going to be gone from Tulsa. You know, the guys I brought up, Chaz Surratt, maybe a Jabril Cox, Pete Winner, Dylan Moses from Alabama. I really like Baron Browning. I still have to study his tape more to see how he does in pass coverage sets, but I like the way that he understands the run game. They need a guy who can pair with Devin Bush and play well and be athletic enough so that they're not just susceptible over the middle of the field, because that was a huge part of the problem. This past season was, especially when Devin Bush went down, that teams could pick at the middle of the field. They could run in the middle of the field. Like, it was just a lot of issues there. So that's what I'm saying there. And I'm not saying go get them in the first round. I'm saying second, third round, that might where you go get it. But also, this is where getting a guy who you might trade back for this year could pay off. If you trade away the 24th pick and say you get, you know, a top five pick in the second round, and then an early pick in the third round, or a mid round pick in the third round, based on another team having extra third round picks, then you could say, all right, we're taking an offensive lineman in the second round, then we're taking a running back and a linebacker in the third round. And then you're sitting there like, okay, now you feel more comfortable about your haul this year, because these are all guys that you trust to develop sooner rather than later. I mean, you know, people people, you know, need to remember this team has had several guys step up and play. I mean, this last rookie class was pretty doggone good most of the season. Alex Highsmith looked comfortable late in the year. Chase Claypool had 13 touchdowns during the season, including the playoffs. And then of course you had Kevin Dotson playing on the offensive line. I wouldn't put it past this team to find guys who can contribute.
Well, yeah, and another couple positions there. I think with tight end could be one that they could go on the draft early and get, and that guy could get on the field early. And I think another one, maybe a sleeper here, is interior defensive line, where they don't really have depth beyond Hayward, Alualu, and Tuitt. You know, I know Isaiah Bugs wants to be that guy, and so does Carlos Davis. But like the biggest hits they put on the players this year were on each other on the sideline, right, when they fought. So you know. I think those guys, actually, that's not fair to Bugs, because Bugs did make good plays against the Ravens. So I'll take that back. Bugs, you were good against the Ravens. But those are players who I think if they took early, those are guys who could sneak onto the field earlier on in their career, you know, rather than, I mean, you could make an argument that like even a tackle year one might not play if they bring Banner back.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see if they could get a situation where they have an offensive tackle starting, and you know, maybe Alex Leatherwood isn't the guy, maybe it's Eichenberg, Cosby, one of those guys. But to your point, you know, finding important depth pieces later in the draft. You know, a guy that really impressed me in the Senior Bowl is a guy who I've seen all year, Jimmy Morrissey, a center out of Pitt. A lot of people are going to talk about Quinn Myers from, I think it's Wisconsin Waters or something like that. He's from a really small school. But a lot of people are hyping him up now. But Jimmy Morrissey is a guy for Pitt. He'll be a late round pick, but like he was Pitt's offensive line captain. And I can tell you, like everyone followed this dude. He was a walk-on. He was the walk-on year of player of the year award this past year as a senior. And he was a team leader, but for the Senior Bowl, he got called the night before the game to come and play in the Senior Bowl because someone got hurt. He drove from Pensacola, Florida to Mobile, Alabama the night before, learned the team schemes, adjusted to what he needed to do, then played left guard and right guard in the game and didn't look like he had a problem at all. And that's what you might want to get in some of those later picks that you can also trade to get more of, is saying, hey, if you get yourself a Jimmy Morrissey type, that's a dude who you can plug in. And for the next 4 years, you have depth on the interior part of the offensive line because he moves around. And the thing is, I don't think that there's a shortage on players who you can bring in like that, in the later rounds. I think if you take some stabs there, you can find some of those depth pieces, and the Steelers do need depth on both sides of the ball.
Right. And if you're taking those later on in the draft, those are probably, you know, guys you're working on, right? Cause you might have pouncy backs. You don't need a center right away that can come in and start right away.
Right.
And then, you know, going to running back, right? Cause I know people are talking about first round running back, second round running back, but the guy the Steelers take at running back, if they're going to take a running back that early, it's gotta be someone that they love enough that they're going to start him day one, and he's got to be someone who I think they can trust on third down. Because look, you know, I watched Benny Snell on pass protection, and it's not pretty. You know, same thing. I mean, Anthony McFarland, hopefully he turns it around year two. And it's like
another reason why I think they should invest in running back early.
Yeah, and if that guy's not there, I think they have to go out and get a veteran. I brought up this up to you privately. I talked about, you know, Mark Ingram could just be like a guy they bring in because they trust him in certain situations where, you know, like I feel like the Steelers at running back are going to have to get someone they trust. And I think they're going to want to fill that with a band-aid as a veteran first, and then try to hit on someone in the draft. But I don't think they can go into next year with the running back room they have today. Certainly.
I mean, they certainly need, it would behoove them to get two guys that, you know, that you could go to in key situations and know they won't botch it. And it's one guy to carry the load, one guy to be a backup, and maybe Ben Roethlisberger's protector in a sidecar out of the shotgun that says, hey, you'll step in and get your nose a little dirty there. And then, and, you know, because I'm with you. I don't think it'd be smart to just gamble that Snell just picks it up this year. And maybe he will, but right. I'm not, but my thing is, I think it's tough to gamble definitely that he will on not investing into the position. So that's another reason why I'm looking,
especially in a year where it's like, you know, we're all in, right? We're going all in, we're making one last run. And oh, by the way, Benny Snell's our running back. Like I'm a running backs don't matter guy, but like they matter a little bit. Like they matter more than that.
No, I agree with you. So the Senior Bowl is interesting. we're going to do more analysis on this throughout the year because, you know, again, it just happened on Saturday. Everyone's breaking it on tape. Everyone's doing other stuff. So we're going to see a whole bunch of more draft analysis as this offseason rolls along. It's just literally the 2nd of February. So the Super Bowl hasn't even been played. We'll have plenty of time to go over this kind of stuff as the year goes on. But thank you for your question, TJ Deckel. Do drop your questions in the group. Just say if it's for the show, and you can even ask it of certain guests, because you guys know that, you know, we have Tony on Tuesday, Dean on Wednesday, Jenna on Friday. I'm going to try to work in a regular Thursday guest, still working that out. But you know, knowing that we have those guys, feel free to drop questions in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. And who knows, when I do a mailbag, you can also do that with me, and I'll just run through the gamut of them like I did, for two straight weeks. So, that being said, thank you again for your question. And thank you to Tony for taking the time to be on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Tony, the fans love you here, man. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find me on AFC North Talk on Tuesdays, 5:45, although we are taking the month of February off. So we'll see you in March. And then you can find me here, of course, every Tuesday, Tony Tuesdays here on Locked On Steelers. And then you can find me on YouTube, Steeler Country with Tony Serino is my YouTube show. You can find me there. Chris will be on the show. It looks like next week we'll have him on the show.
Ah, there we go. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. Let's do it, man. I'm excited. Yeah, have me on the show. Ooh, we've been getting the band back together. All right.
You're gonna get a double dose of Tony and Chris.
There we go. That's how you do it. So go check out Tony's shows. And thanks again to him for coming on. You guys know my name's Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. That's also my Instagram handle. If you're enjoying the Locked On Steelers podcast, please subscribe to us. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. You can also, if you want to support, leave a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. Doing so will get you a shout out at the end of the show because, hey, when y'all do it, it doesn't just make me feel better. It lets the world know, hey, this show's really good. Come check it out. And it does help us get the word out there saying that, hey, what we're doing here is really cool. And again, you will get a shout out like this person who left a review just last week. We have this person and we have actually two new reviews. I'll get to this one today and tomorrow's tomorrow. The next one tomorrow. But this one is a 5-star review coming from BD Tizzle, who says, Steelers fans with Steelers news. Chris Carter bleeds black and gold. It's awesome to hear a man talk about a game with a great knowledge of the game. He is realistic, unlike his predecessor, Tony Duck. Dang, he's calling you out, Tony.
Oh, no.
BD.
Oh, well.
Why are you calling out my man, Tony?
Oh, Duck. Yeah, Duck did nothing except run Jared Goff out of L.A., okay? Duck was there for about 3 days, and they were like, we got to get rid of this Goff kid. He can't. He cannot play. So who was his name? BD Trizzle. I accept your apology.
BD Tizzle.
BD Tizzle. I accept your apology.
You, sir, are hilarious. Anyways, to finish his review, he says, Tony Duck, he's a great guy and has great insight in Steelers football. Thank you for keeping me connected to my favorite team. Even though I live in Indiana, we ride at dawn. Yes, BD Tizzle, we ride at dawn. Even though you were talking about my man Tony. I know he's just joking, but still, thank you so much, BD. We appreciate your review. We'll get to the other review that we left here. That is left here as a 5-star review on tomorrow's episode that will have Dean Iampietro from Channel 11 back on as usual. So thanks again to you guys for leaving reviews. And hey, you can get your shout out just like that on the show right here with a 5-star review, the positive comment. Even if you've already done one, do it again. It still helps us out. And before you go, we got to tell you about our friends at BlueNile.com, where they have still the exclusive promotion called 10-10. 10-10 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th and still going to this day at BlueNile.com. Get in on this limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings that launched back in January, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Thanks again for listening. Be back on the air with Dean Iampietro tomorrow.